Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews, service well-pleasing to God. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the gospel reading today. Today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew. It is entitled The Parable of the Wedding Banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went on their way, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, Christ.
Amen.
Some time ago, I came across an interesting notice that was posted on a church bulletin board. It says, "When you were born, your mother brought you here. When you were married, your partner brought you here. When you die, your friends will bring you here. Why not try coming on your own sometimes?" I guess this notice seems to be another life is short humor that encourages you come back to church before it's too late. Yes, it can be another solemn reminder of a reality check. Because life is short, it is too precious not to be cherished fully. Whether you like it or realize it, time continues to pass. Life is a series of old memories and ever-moving transitions of past, present, and future. 46 years ago, I cannot believe that's been that long. In 1979, I was a freshman in a Methodist college in Seoul, Korea. During my college year, the very first book about history I encountered was Edward Hallett Carr's 1961 book, What is History? At that time, there was no Korean translation yet. So while reading the book in English, I struggled to understand, even though I was able to read it in English barely and slowly. All the contents were look Greek to me. Anyhow, being as a young man at that time, I never realized that this book would be such an influential and foundational book regarding history. Now, even after over 45 years, this book is still widely popular around the world. Amazingly, I still have that book in my possession. And recently, I tried to skim through that book, paying more attention to those important points and insights that now make more sense to me. In the book, the author E.H. Carr, a British historian and journalist, basically defines history as, quote, a continuous process of interaction between the historian and his facts, an unending dialogue between the present and the past, unquote. He also states, quote, the past is intelligible to us only in the light of the present, and we can fully understand the present only in the light of the past, unquote. Furthermore, he also explores the crucial relationship between the individual and society, and how the role of morality greatly impacts people's lives in history. It is generally known that history is the key to understanding how societies have evolved, how cultures have shaped our world, and why certain events occurred the way they did. So, studying history helps us comprehend current events and news articles we read, predict future trends, and become informed citizens. Simply put, if you know the history truthfully and sincerely, you would do better today and tomorrow, because you can avoid repeating past mistakes by learning from the successes and failures of those who came before us. Moreover, you can foster empathy and more informed decision-making for the future. So, even though certain part of our history was dark, horrible, and shameful, rather than forgetting it or pretending nothing had happened, you must learn, know, and face the truth. In this way, you can create a new and bright future by reminding ourselves with the slogan, "Never again," if any mistakes should not be repeated. History is so crucial that it shapes our faith journey together as well, especially in our envisioning steps. Throughout my sermon series, Our New Vision, we have shared and explored the three guiding principles. Number one, love boldly. Number two, serve joyfully. And number three, lead courageously. So this morning, as we are wrapping up our New Vision sermon series, I have emphasized the importance of history. Without knowing history truthfully and seriously, there will be no hopeful or brighter future. This truth also applies to our United Methodist Church's new vision making and implementation process. The leadership of the United Methodist Church was guided by a desire to remember the root of our faith and imagine a hopeful, hope-filled future. This is why the Council of Bishops of the United Methodist Church, while presenting our new vision, introduced the concept of Sankofa. Sankofa, a West African word, probably from Ghana. This image that means go back and fetch it and bring it forward. This is an image of a Sankofa bird, as you can see. This Sankofa bird symbolizes that one must remember where they have come from to move forward. The Sankofa bird is a mythical bird with its feet planted forward, yet its head is turned backward, holding a precious egg in its beak. The bird's posture represents moving forward while carrying the wisdom of the past, symbolized by the egg, which contains the knowledge and heritage of the ancestors. I believe there might be so many meanings and implications and lessons from this Sankofa bird. One of them is that this Sankofa story is a powerful guide for the future. Sankofa teaches that a strong future is built on a thoughtful understanding of the past. By looking back at what our ancestors endured and accomplished, we can gain the wisdom needed to navigate the challenges ahead. It helps us to acknowledge past mistakes so that we can be more accountable, not only by correcting past errors, but also by trying to make every opportunity beneficial for everyone, not only individuals, but also the entire humanity across the world. Therefore, knowing and acknowledging our past, even though it was full of evil and darkness done by our ancestors, compels us to move forward so that we can become a better people, better community, better nation, and better world. So, based on this concept of the Sankofa bird, here is the new vision statement of the UMC. The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who empowers by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. This new vision statement provides us with a clear, Christ-centered framework for missional unity and collaboration across our worldwide connection. It also reminds us that a vision is just a starting place. Our Bishop Escobedo Frank of California Pacific Conference expressed her excitement about this vision. Quote, "We embrace this new vision as a focus of ministry in our world and in our local context. Together, we work for a better future through the love of Jesus Christ." Unquote. Moreover, this vision is another guiding statement for our denomination, just as our mission drives our purpose and our promise of open heart, open minds, open doors. Yes, this is a constant reminder of that we are the people of open heart, open mind, and open doors. This open heart slogan and our new vision are based on our heartfelt welcome and love for our neighbors. The writer of the book of Hebrews urges all believers, old passage, especially verse number two, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. We all know the story from the Genesis, right? Then the last two verses are very important. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Then, verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You know, it would be easy to love your loved ones only, right? It would be comfortable to be nice to the person just like you, right? However, we are called to show hospitality to everyone, especially to strangers. According to the Bible, whole Bible, the word strangers equals to the word neighbors. It is one of God's kingdom rules that everyone is invited and welcome. And all the acts of your radical hospitality seem to be sacrifices in some sense, but through these sacrifices, God can be pleased. From this morning's Gospel of Matthew, we read Jesus telling us the famous and interesting parable of the wedding banquet. This wedding banquet parable depicts God's inclusive invitation to salvation, represented by a great feast, and the rejection of that invitation by some who prioritize worldly, self-centered concerns. It highlights God's desire for a full banquet and his subsequent outreach to those traditionally excluded. Yes, this parable is about the kingdom of God, which is truly inclusive. In this parable, the king represents God the Father. The banquet symbolizes God's kingdom, salvation, or eternal life. The initially invited guests represent the Jewish people at the time and their religious leaders, such as the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the first to be offered the invitation to salvation through the prophet. The excuses show how people prioritize earthly possessions and desires over spiritual matters, thus rejecting God's invitation. The slaves represent the prophets of God who extends the invitation. Everyone in the street, both good and bad, literally refers to everyone. All those ordinary people who desire God's grace, especially those traditionally excluded by society who readily accept God's invitation. The wedding robe can be interpreted in various ways, but mainly and generally, it represents faith, hope, and love that you are called to live out in God's mercy and grace now and forever. Apostle Paul proclaims in the first letter of Timothy, God, our Savior, desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, God desires everyone to be saved because God loves everyone, including you and me, because God is love. You are God's precious, beloved children. God sees you, God knows you, and God watches over you always. Do you remember what Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 10 on how much God loves you? He said, and even the hairs of your head are all counted. Wow! So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. What an amazing God we have. Therefore, as we are moving forward to the future, we are called to share God's love with everyone and to invite everyone to God's heavenly banquet. It doesn't matter if your invitation might be rejected, refused, or ignored. You just keep loving everyone and keep inviting everyone to God's community of faith and love. We are not in God's position to judge anyone. Never. We are simply God's agent of grace and love. We are God's faithful servant to invite everywhere everyone and everywhere. Invitation is our task, our ministry, and our mission. September is almost here. Can you believe that tomorrow is September 1st? Tomorrow is September 1st, and next Sunday will be September 7th. Having shared our new vision together, now it is the time for us to implement the three guiding principles in actions: love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. September is back to church month for us as an inviting, caring, and loving congregation in this community. This year's Back to Church theme is Life Together. Life is better together. Let's say all together. Life is better together. Yes. Back to Church is not only inviting people to the church, but also returning to God for renewed, restored, and reconciled relationship with God for you. That is why I've been encouraging you to read the Bible through the new Bible Challenge. Throughout the Bible Challenge, you can read the Bible in how many years? 1 year. Moreover, I've been inviting you to join the church as a new member and to come back to church if you are an inactive member. Don't miss God's banquet, for you will be truly welcomed not only by God, but also by the whole church family. As a reminder, the next new members' welcoming Sunday will be September 28th. So far, we have two candidates for reaffirmation of faith and three candidates for transfer from another UMC. And you will still have a chance to express your desire to join the church, to me and to the church. Just come to me and say yes, okay? So, September will be a new opportunity for you to practice the three guiding principles of a new vision, not only for our church, but also for our individual and collective spiritual journey together. Yes, definitely, life is better together. So, starting next Sunday, I will be sharing with you a new sermon series, Life is Better Together, for 5 Sundays coming soon. So, don't miss this sermon series. Thanks be to God. Amen.